In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. The first part of the talk that I'm giving is going to be on priestly life and the cross. And I want to first lay down a basic principle that explains the mystery of why the saints suffer. The principle is this: all those realities which exist in the heavenly Christ must continue to exist in the church on earth in an as yet unfinished mode of existence. We are the body of Christ. We are Christ in the physical presence on earth. And therefore there is a certain amount of the sufferings of the Christ on earth that we have to enter into. This word Christ, as we saw last week, can sometimes apply to the church. Remember, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Peter, I'm for Christ. And Paul says, is Christ divided? Meaning the church. Or again in 1 Cor 12, first verse, I think, just as a body has many members and all the members are one, so it is with the Christ. I make up in my own body what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ, the church. All right. So that's the basic principle. I'm going to illustrate that from a text from chapter 8 of the letter to the Romans. This is verses 26 to 27 first. And in the same way, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with unutterable groanings. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the preoccupation of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints. Now, that's verse 26, 27. In verse 32, 34, we're given an insight into what the Spirit is doing. The text is about is God going to condemn us? And he says, no. You know, for he didn't spare his own son, but handed him over for us. How then will he not give us everything? I want to discuss for just a moment, because it's important for the rest. It says here, the Father handed over the Son. This word hand over in the New Testament always refers, well, most of the time, to some part of the passion process. I live now by the life of the Son of God who loved me and handed himself over for me. So, how can we say that God the Father handed over his own Son? St. Thomas says, in effect, by inspiring him with such great love that he could hardly wait. He ran to the cross, as it were, even though he was filled with revulsion, because of love. Now, the part we want is not that, but I wanted to point that out. It's who will find fault and accuse the elect of God? God? Who's justifying? No. So who will condemn? Christ Jesus, who died, better, who rose, who is at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. Now, my understanding, therefore, of what the Holy Spirit does in us He takes the intercession of Christ from heaven and brings it back on earth. Because the work of Christ must always have a fleshly, that is, historical, time-measured existence until he comes to end the world. That's the principle. It's on that principle that we are all Christians, but in a special way priests, we are all called to enter the sufferings of Christ so that the reality of Christ can exist again on earth and have an earthly causality. This is, we're going to see, is just exactly why Jesus himself had a body. It's in chapter 10 of Hebrews. We'll see it later. What I want to do now is read some lines from Raniero Cantalamessa. This is from his homily to the papal household last Lent. I think it's the third of those homilies. If you want them, you just Google Raniero Cantalamessa and they'll come right up. The consequence of all this is clear. To be a priest, according to the order of Jesus Christ, the presbyter must, like him, offer himself. On the altar, he does not only represent the Jesus who is high priest, but also the Jesus who is supreme victim, the two things being inseparable. In other words, he cannot be content to offer Christ to the Father and the sacramental signs of bread and wine. He must also offer himself with Christ to the Father. Taking up a thought of St. Augustine, the instruction of holy rites says, "The Church, the spouse and minister of Christ, performs together with him the role of priest and victim, offers him to the Father, and at the same time makes an offering of herself with him." That which is said here in that instruction of the whole Church is applied in an altogether special way to the celebrant. At the moment of ordination, the priest addresses those being ordained. I've mentioned this before, and you know it. Agnoscite quod agitis, imitamini quod tractis. Realize what you do, imitate that which you will celebrate. In other words, you do what Christ does in the Mass, namely, offer yourself to God in living sacrifice. St. Gregory of Nazianzen says, "Knowing that no one is worthy of the grandeur of God, of the victim, and of the priest, if he has not first offered himself as a living and holy sacrifice." I'll come back to that quote later. That's the basic principle that we're working on here. I want to look, in the time that's left, in just a few texts, and I'll return to this next week. The first text we had recently, Hebrews 2:5-18, and I will quote rapidly until I get to the part that I want. "For not to angels has he subjected the universe to come, about which we are speaking. Someone bore witness somewhere, saying," this is the sophisticated, "someone somewhere." This man knows the whole Bible by heart. "You made him a little less than the angels. Glory and honor you crowned him." Made him less for a little, which would be better. Okay. Now I'm going to skip. Well, we don't see the whole universe subjected to man, but we do see Jesus. How do we see Jesus? What does it mean? We see Jesus. That's faith. We know that Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with honor and glory, in order that by the grace of God he might taste death for all. Now he returns to talk about the Father. "Because it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, leading many sons to glory, to perfect the leader of their sufferings, of their salvation, rather, through suffering." To perfect the leader of their salvation through suffering. But what does it mean to perfect Jesus? How can he be made perfect? Well, as of course, he brought him to a moral perfection greater than anything any human being could ever have. And he did it through his whole life, but most especially through the sufferings of the cross. So it's a moral perfection. It's also an eschatological perfection. He's bringing him up to heaven, to perfection. I could develop that, but I won't right now. But there's another use based on the Septuagint. He ordained him. In Hebrew, to ordain a priest means mile yadayim, to fill his hands. That doesn't make any sense in Greek. So they changed it to be teleun, to perfect him. So this last one means that he ordained the leader of their suffering, their salvation, through sufferings. Jesus was ordained on the cross, and he exercises his ministry from heaven, always living to make intercession for us, which, as you know, is one of the texts that we're going to look at when we go through this part of it week by week. So we have the basic principle that what transpired in the Christ must continue to transpire here on earth. That's the meaning of the Eucharist. Jesus is glorious, fixed forever with the wounds he got in his passage with us, surrounded by angels and saints in his body. And yet, he wants that act of love in which he died to have a continued historical existence in and through us. And so in the Eucharist, as he said, do this in memory of me. And so, as Raniero already pointed out, you see, we must give this reality of Christ a fleshly existence, not because there's anything wanting to the sufferings of Christ, but because this is the plan of God to make that available to everyone. Now, I am thinking of organizing a group who would like to discuss this more, not on this website, though I'm going to continue, but elsewhere. If you're interested, you can contact me. My address is Father Francis at, and now there's no break between Father and Francis, and there's no break between Father at Father Francis Martin. Again, no break, .com. Father Francis at FatherFrancisMartin.com, or P.O. Box 2235, Montgomery Village, Maryland 20886. I would like to discuss this more, maybe form a web or whatever, chat page or something where we can get more and more into this. I will return to it next week to continue what I didn't get to today.